Welcome to the Kingdom Truth Podcast. On our podcast, we teach the good news of Jesus Christ and biblical principles that empower all people with real-life, timeless applications. I am your host, Bible teacher, Yolanda Tyler. Well, praise the name of the Lord. We are so glad that you all could join us on today. We are blessed and honored to have a wonderful man of God on our podcast. His name is Pastor Bill Jenkins. Pastor Bill was born and raised in Chicago, Illinois. He gave his life to the Lord at the age of 17. He was called to ministry at the age of 18. Pastor Bill is the founder and senior pastor of Destinyland Christian Center in Rancho Cucamonga, California. He has served in the pastoral ministry for over 30 years. He has previously served as an international bishop overseeing 134 churches. After building a strong, successful, thriving church for 27 years in Indianapolis, the Lord led him and his family to California to plant a new ministry. Pastor Bill has always been ready and eager to face new and exciting challenges for the Lord. He knew the Lord was moving him out of his comfort zone. He and his family left everything behind to start over and to build something from nothing. Pastor Bill is a television and radio host, award-winning author, and is rapidly becoming known as an apostle of God with a prophetic voice. He works to release a message of hope in our world with uncompromising spiritual fervor. Pastor Bill takes on the toughest passages of Scripture and explains them in a practical and interesting way. He is the go-to guy when it comes to understanding biblical numbers and their spiritual significance. Pastor Bill has written over 22 books and 10 volumes of the Prophetic Almanac. He has appeared on TBN, and he has a podcast and a wonderful teaching moment called The Minute That Matters. It can be seen daily on all social media platforms. Pastor Bill's passion is for others to become successful as they apply the principles of Christ to their daily lives. He is a devoted husband and father. He has been married to his beautiful wife, Britton, since 1998, and they have three sons, Bryce, Brock, and Brady. Pastor Bill enjoys spending time with his family and firmly believes to be a leader of any kind, you first must be a good leader and a godly man in your home. Pastor Bill is here today to share with us his newest release and what the Lord has given him for the Prophetic Almanac of 2025. Thank you so much, Pastor Bill, for joining us on today.
Oh, well, I'm so glad to be with you, and I'm excited about the program and get the word across to people so they can have a successful year here in 2025.
Amen. God bless you. Now, I like how you always have said and shared on the podcast before, how the Lord gives you fresh divine revelation for God's people. And all of your books are Bible-based. It's real stuff. It's no fluff. It's information, inspiration, and divine revelation. So what is God saying for 2025?
Wow. Well, I like that. No fluff, only good stuff. So Amen. You gave me a line there. So I love that. Well, here's the thing. I always look at the number for that year. Obviously, it's 2025. So I look in the Bible and see the number 25. Now, the study of numbers is not new. I didn't create that. But I tell people, I'm like Chick-fil-A. I didn't create the chicken sandwich. I'm just trying to perfect it. And so not too many people are talking, if anyone is talking, about the number 25 and when it's mentioned in the Bible. And so what I like to do is go and dig into the Scripture, go in and search those things that God wants to reveal to us that I believe is going to help us to have a successful year. And so when you look in the Bible, 21 times the word 25 is mentioned, and 11 of those 21 mentions of the number 25 revolve around grace. And so you get to 25 by the easiest way is 5 times 5. 5 is the number of grace. So this is the year it's not just a year of grace, but it's a year of grace quintupled. So the easiest way to get to 25, five times five, it's going to take the grace of God quintupled in our lives in order to be successful this year. And so we always want the grace from God, but are we giving the grace of God to other people? And so, you know, people may look at that and say, well, you know, this is going to be a great year. I promise you, you're going to go through struggles you've never gone through before. You're going to have challenges you never faced before, and you're going to have five times as much grace to deal with those situations that you're going to come across this year. And without God's help and without God's grace in your life, it's never going to happen. Now, when we talk about grace, it's about God's unmerited favor. You know, favor isn't fair. We don't deserve favor. We don't get favor because, you know, God loves us more. We get favor because we're showing God love more. And so when we talk about the word grace, it's about forgiveness, love, acceptance, spiritual empowerment, compassion, understanding, divine influence, freedom, transformation. It's about assistance from heaven, and it's about kindness. And so these are the things that I'm talking about. 2025 is a year of grace, but it's a year of grace quintupled in that we're going to need five times as much grace to get through this year and be successful.
Amen. And that is so powerful, because how much more that we'll see success when we are kind and we show grace to others who are in need and take the focus off of us and our little world, you know, and reach out to those who have not even experienced the grace of Jesus Christ in salvation.
Absolutely. I mean, we want the grace. We, you know, receive the grace of God, but it's hard for us to give the grace. But if you want to be more like Jesus, you're going to have to give the grace of God. See, when you give grace, it's forgiving people instead of holding a grudge. It's about unconditional love. It's about understanding instead of being understood. It's about giving somebody a second chance, maybe even giving somebody a free pass. And wow, you know, even as I'm saying this, you know, that's hard to say. You know, we want justice. We don't want to give grace. We don't want to give mercy. We want justice because we're humans. And sometimes when, you know, we walk in grace towards others, we got to keep our mouth shut. Even when we want to say something, because it's not going to be beneficial. And so it's definitely going to be hard. This is the year of grace, but God has given us the grace to have that grace quintupled towards other people so we can be successful. Remember, grace is not just the characteristic of God. It is God. God is grace. Mm-hmm. And so God is giving us the opportunity this year to show that grace. But also in the book, what I do is I also talk about what grace isn't, because grace isn't some substitution for sanctification. It's not a license to sin. It's not compromising your belief system. It's not an excuse to sin. And so I talk about all these things about what grace is, but also what grace is not, so we can have a truly better understanding of exactly what that word grace actually means.
Amen. And the thing is, grace, I heard one pastor say that grace is so huge. It's so huge, you can't even wrap your arms around it. But we do know that Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. You said about us wanting to get revenge or justice. Justice belongs to Jesus. He is justice. He is the lawgiver.
And that's so true. But, you know, too often in this world, our flesh rises up. We don't put our flesh into subjection to the spirit, and we want payback. We want revenge. We rejoice when our enemies fall. We rejoice when people we don't like don't succeed. And so God is really dealing with us. And so this is the year when God wants to do stuff through us, but more importantly, God wants to do something in us this year in order for us to be successful.
Amen. And as part of being the body of Christ, talk about how God's grace will affect the church to know what to do and how to change the world and to do things as the body.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. We're transformed by grace. We're liberated by grace. We're given talents by grace. We're kept by grace. And we always sing these songs in church about wanting to be more like Jesus, but yet we're staying the same way. And so this is a year when, you know, we have to understand that before God judges the world, he's judging the church. And so this is a year when the church people are going to be judged, and we're going to be tested in our faith when it comes to dealing with other people. We all have hurts, habits, and hangups. We all have things in our past. We all have a sad story, from our childhood. We all got things that could keep us back and to hold us from walking in and fulfilling our destiny. But sooner or later, we got to say, hey, I'm not going to let my past determine my future anymore. And I'm going to pull up my, pants, and I'm going to do the right thing, walk in God's grace. And when we do that, that grace that starts in the church is going to spread to the world. And that's when we're going to see change happen in this world. I'm believing for revival. This, I believe, is a year of revival. And in order for that to happen, we can't always be trying to scare the hell out of people. We got to love the hell out of people. And part of loving the hell out of people is giving them grace, even when they don't deserve it, the way God gave us grace when we don't deserve it.
And that's what grace is, God giving us what we do not deserve. And mercy is when He doesn't give us what we do deserve. So let's talk about this. How about grace as it empowers us to be all that God has created us to be?
Well, I mean, you're never going to really be everything God wants you to be until you allow the things of God to develop in your life. And so I'm concerned that, we're so caught up in, wanting and seeking the power of God in the church, but yet we're not really looking for the purity of God to start in our hearts. And so, this has to be a time when we draw a circle around ourselves, quit pointing the finger, and say, Lord, change me. I don't want to just be stirred. I want to be changed. I want you to do something inside of me that not only will I know that I'm different, but others will look at me and will know that I am different. And so, it's a year when we have to allow those things of God to not just be something we agree about or amen during a sermon, but really activate in our life. We have to activate these things. We can't just let them lay dormant. We can't just say we want them but not walk in it. It's a year when we have to truly grow up before we go up. Too many Christians are spiritual teenagers. They want all the responsibility in the world, but they don't want any accountability.
My
So,
God.
a teenager, hey, give me responsibility. I'll do this. I'll be home. And then when they don't do it, they don't want to be held accountable. Well, that's the same way the church has become. We're spiritual teenagers instead of acting like spiritual adults. But we've got to grow up. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I acted as a child. But when I became an adult, I have to put away those childish things. And this is the year we got to put away those childish things. We got to grow up. We have to ask God to mature us and to develop us. And we can't, be 30, 40, 50, 60 years old and still acting like a teenager. This is a year we've got to begin to walk in that love that God has called us to walk in and offer the grace to people, even when they don't deserve it. We
Amen.
have to offer the grace of God to them. And again, it's grace quintupled. It's not just giving grace, it's giving grace quintupled. The fastest way to 25 is five times five. So you're going to be challenged five times more this year than you ever have before to give the grace of God to other people. So, man, I don't know. That's scary to me because already in this year, I've been challenged to give grace to, relatives, family members, people that I'm close to, people that I love. And so it's tough to give grace when you want more for people than they want for themselves sometimes. We want to just throw them away, cast them off, kick them to the curb. But God says, you know what? You get in there, you have the heart to make change in their lives. And as they cooperate with the Lord and they cooperate with the things you're giving them, you're going to see true change take place as you give the grace of God to other people.
Amen. And the most beautiful thing is, Pastor Bill, too, that the Holy Spirit, He is the Spirit of grace. So whatever it is that we need to do and free ourselves and to do what God has called us to do and to be all that God has called us to be is through the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah, I
He
mean, I
helps
put it
us.
in the book. We're given talents by grace. First Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, as every man received the gift, even so minister one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so God has given us talents. He's given us abilities. He's given us gifts. And how do we use those things? Well, we use them because God has given us, and we use them to help and benefit other people. We don't use the gifts that God has given us to make ourselves famous. And so if we're looking to get something out of something that God gives us, we're doing it out of the wrong motives and reasons. You know, when we first come to the Lord, I'm not sure our motives matter as much as they do later on in our walk
right.
with the Lord. You know, who cares why you go to church? I could care less. I'm a pastor, been a pastor for a long time. I could care less if you come to church because we're giving an Easter basket out on Easter, or, you know, we have a pretty girl or a good looking guy sitting on the second row. I could care less why you come. But if you're there, I'm going to believe God to change you and cause you to get to the point where it doesn't matter who, you know, what you're giving away or who's on that second row. All that matters is that you have Jesus in your heart and in your life. And so I think we have to understand God has given us grace. Those gifts are on loan to us. They're not your gifts. They're God's gifts. They are on loan to you and to I. And we have to use them to benefit others and never to bless ourselves.
Amen. That's total. Looking at things from God's perspective and not our own perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's part of putting our flesh into subjection. You know, the further we go in life, sometimes people don't want to, you know, submit. They don't want to surrender. They don't like those messages. They just want messages on faith and, you know, hope and prosperity and how God is going to bless them. But, you know, we need to get back to tough subjects being talked about from the pulpits of the church, because if all we're doing is trying to, you know, scratch the ears of, you know, the hearers and the seats and pet their devils, all we're going to do is make better sinners out of people in the pew. And so we have to talk about some tough subjects that people may not want to hear. So it forces them to walk in the Spirit and get that flesh more and more out of their lives every single day.
Amen. And not only the flesh, there's so much carnality in the church, you know, in worldliness, and that is not of God at all.
No, I mean, you know, obviously the more of God you get in you, you know, the less of flesh, the less of those carnal things ought to be inside of your heart. And so, you know, I think we've lowered the standard in the church too much. And it's time we raise the standard. If you want to know the difference between a true prophet and a false prophet, all you have to do is ask yourself, are they lowering the standard or are they raising the standard? Remember, when Jesus came along, Jesus raised the standard. He said, no longer is it just adultery that's sin, but if you look on a woman to lust after her, that is sin. And so Jesus raised the standard. We have to continue to raise that standard according to the will and the word of God. And if we're lowering it, that's a perfect sign that that's somebody we shouldn't be listening to, because all it's going to do is feed our carnality, feed our flesh, and never cause us to change and become more like the Lord.
Amen. And I like the way when you were interviewing before, you mentioned that we must chase after God like never before and lean on the Lord like never before. Talk about what it takes for us to start really chasing after God.
Here's the thing. People learn by revelation or by tribulation. As a pastor, I would love to think, I would love to believe, I want to believe that, hey, I'm going to give you a good message on Sunday. You're going to take that word. You're going to apply it to your life. You're going to see where you need to, you know, add some things to your life and subtract some things. And just through the simple revelation of the word of God, you're going to change. However, I also know that there's too many stubborn, stiff-necked people in the church, and they're not going to learn through revelation. They're going to have to learn through tribulation. And so, you know, one way or another, I think God is going to teach us. It's much easier to learn through revelation by your free will choice to just apply the word of God. But I'm not sure everybody wants the easy road. I think sometimes people, you know, make it harder on themselves than they should, and they have to go through tribulation to learn. Well, I remember as a kid, I learned through tribulation, but the older I got, I said, man, I don't want to learn through tribulation. Sometimes when you learn through tribulation, you get stuck there a lot longer than what, you know, even God intended, because you just are stubborn and don't want to change. But when you change through revelation, that's a pure heart. You know, that's a desire to pursue God. That's a heart that says, I want to chase after God. The way the deer panted for the water, so my heart longeth after you. And I think that's what we have to do. Our motives matter. And so why we're chasing after God, it matters to the Lord. It may not matter how you come to the Lord, but it matters how you stay in the Lord. God doesn't want you to serve him because you're going to get blessed, or you're going to get healed, or you're going to get delivered. And listen, I'm going to serve God if I'm going to die today. I'm serving God because I love him, not because I'm trying to get something from him. So I think that's an important thing that we learn through revelation and not through tribulation.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, even if you look at the whole Holy Week, Sunday to Sunday, that Palm Sunday through Easter Sunday, every day is significant. You know, there's 8 days, and those 8 days really changed the world. And most of the New Testament, most people don't understand this, but at least one third of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, at least one third. The book of John talks about one half of the last 8 days, but at least one third of the first four books of the New Testament, the four Gospels, is all about the last 8 days of the Lord. And so it's about that Holy Week. You know, Jesus came in, you know, triumphantly. He said, if you don't praise me, the rocks are going to cry out. And then, you know, what happened, on Monday and Tuesday when Jesus went into the temple and he overthrew the tables of the money changers? He cursed anything that wasn't, you know, growing. Wednesday was the slowest day of the week. But the bottom line is that was the day when Jesus got anointed with the perfume, with the oil, with the anointing. And what a day that was. Thursday was Maundy Thursday or Mandate Thursday. Friday was the day he died. Saturday was the day that the devil was scared than, you know, more than ever. But Sunday was the day he rose from the grave. And so
Amen.
when we look at Holy Week, my goodness,
My
there's
God.
so many great things that we can get from just that week. If Jesus thought it was important for us to have those four gospels, and at least one third talks about the last 8 days, maybe we ought to start reading the Red, Pray, and the Power and find out about those last days and how they can affect our life in a positive way when we apply the truth that Jesus put in the word for us to get.
Amen. That is so good. Pastor Bill, would you please go ahead and minister to some pastors that are listening concerning this year and to encourage them?
Well, listen, I think if I was to have something to say to pastors, it's, you know, sometimes, and people don't think this, only a pastor would know this, but sometimes we get frustrated with people in the pew because we want more for them than they want for themselves. Maybe they've hurt us. You know, maybe they're not, you know, doing everything that they need to do. You know, maybe they're two-faced or backstabbing and they still come to our church and we're trying to love them. And so I think the one thing I would say is forgive those people that are in your church and walk in even a greater level of love and grace in 2025. Ask God to heal your heart. And, you know, remember, Jesus told Peter, he said, if you love my sheep, then feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. And he told him that three times. He said, go tend to the lambs, feed the sheep. And that's our job. And so I think what we have to do as ministers and pastors is get with the Lord, get a word from God. We need to quit praying for healings and miracles and deliverances until we get a word from God. It's not, listen, God isn't going to give us all those things until we get a word. I can prove to you in the Bible, if you get a word of God on something, it'll bring a healing, it'll bring a miracle, it'll bring deliverance. And we can't just preach, you know, the latest, greatest internet sermon. We can't just preach what everybody else is preaching. Let's get into the word of God, get a vision for our churches, preach that vision. And if people don't, you know, want to hear it, then God will send new people in. I will say this, you're never going to grow your church with the people you have there right now. And so, you know, don't just focus on them. Focus in on reaching out. Focus in on doing outreach. Focus in on ministering to the lost and finding the need in your community to go out there to expand, you know, your ability to be able to minister to more people within, you know, the framework of your church. And so I think we have to, even as pastors, walk in forgiveness. We cannot, you know, become to the point where we get hardened and, you know, things don't affect us and to, you know, we have a spirit of apathy. We can't do that. We have to remain tender and soft before the Lord. Remember why God has called us. Do what God has called us to do, regardless if people like us or reward us or not. And in doing that, God's going to see to it that in every area of our life, we're going to be blessed. If we do the right thing, God is going to bless us, regardless if anyone else does. And if God blesses us, the devil cannot curse what God has already blessed.
Amen and amen. Pastor Bill, would you please share where your book, The Prophetic Almanac 2025, can be obtained? And then would you please just close out in prayer unless there's anything else that you would like to share?
Yeah, I mean, you can go to walmart.com, target.com, Barnes and Noble, anywhere books are sold, you can get this book. You can also go to Amazon, download it on ebook Kindle. You can get it on eBay. We sell a lot of books on eBay, believe it or not. But this is a little bit over a 100-page book, but it's an exciting book. It's a fun book. It's a fun read. When people read the book, they tell me, they say, once I started reading, I can't put it down. But it's also something you use all year long, every day, 365 days. I made it the size of your Bible so that, most people, when they're carrying their Bible, can take this book with them. They can look in there. They can see what God is expecting of them and what you can expect of God in 2025. And so if you're a pastor, this book is going to stir your spirit. This book is going to help you. I look at every book of the Bible that has a chapter 25 in it. I give you a little sermonette, a little sermon that can stir your heart. If you're a person out there who wants to know more about the Lord, you're tired of just having the mundane Bible study, this is going to change your life. These prophetic almanacs are different ways to search and look at the word, but it's all about the Bible. And so you can go to my website, pastorbilljenkins.org. You can get all 22 of my books. You can listen to all of our podcasts, and you can connect with me on social media like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Get my Minute That Matters. It's a 1 minute, 60-second video devotional. Now think about it. There's 1,440 minutes every day. I'm asking for 1,440 minutes. I'm asking for one. I know I said it again because 1 minute is not a lot. And I'm going to give you a prophetic word. I'm going to give you a little devotional. I'm going to give you something every single day that is going to help you to stay on that straight and narrow track and stir your spirit so that you can deny the flesh and say yes to God and no to the devil. And so I'm glad that everybody has joined us. I hope something's been said to make a difference. I always love your questions because you're just awesome and you always stir my spirit. The only problem I have with you is once I get done, I need a group of people to preach to because I'm so fired up, So I'm gonna have to go out on the street and start doing some street preaching because I'm so fired up. But I want to pray for the people. And so, Lord, for those that are listening today, I pray for your hand to be upon them. I pray, God, that you touch them right where they're at, meet them at their point of need. And whatever the devil is doing, take it, turn it around, and bring something good out of it for them. I bless my sister today and ask for your hand to be upon her. I ask, God, that you would expand her ministry in 2025. As she yields herself to you, God, I pray that you would do a work in her life. And I just hear the Lord saying that opportunities were not meant to come and stay. They were meant to come and go. And so when a God opportunity arises, walk through that door and allow the Lord to open up something new and fresh and real in your life to continue to use the gifts and talents that he's placed and put inside of you. And so, Lord, I just thank you for the listeners. I thank you, Lord, for their hearts. And I pray, God, that you would do a work of grace in our lives, not just receiving it, but giving it here in 2025. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Bill. Thank you so much for joining us.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Truth Podcast with Bible teacher Yolanda Tyler. Please subscribe to our podcast so you will know when the next episode is published. To hear more biblical teachings and give to support the ministry, please visit our website at www.thekingdomtruth.org. That is www.thekingdomtruth.org. God bless you until we meet again.